Something I ran across in the scriptures that really just encouraged my heart and just made me really think about how good my Savior is, and how that we quoted the verse earlier that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we tempted, like as we yet without sin. And if I'm going to give this a title, I would call this, Father, Do I Really Have to Be Me? Father, Do I Really Have to Be Me? But in Luke 22, verse 39, notice what the Bible says here. We see our Savior. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And, you know, a lot of things are said about why He prayed this prayer. And I don't really know it all, but there is some agony behind it. The Scripture never tells us the heart of why He wanted to cut the past. But we can assume, well, we can understand that He was going to be separated from Heavenly Father. The Bible said He took our sins, but in verse 39 it says, he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto him, Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared as an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. A few simple thoughts. We see here the place of prayer. We see that prayer was not an uncommon thing for him, because as he was approaching, the Bible says in verse number 40, and when he was at the place, you know, the Bible speaks very clearly about having a prayer closet. And I was thinking this week about how the Bible says, except we take up our cross daily. You know, to take up the cross daily, that means there could be a place of agony every day. A place where we wrestle with the question, Father, do I really have to be me? This plan of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a surprise to even Jesus himself. He being one with God, knowing what God's will is for his life. And I really began to reflect on my own life. So often, I really know what I'm supposed to be. But my struggle is, do I really want to be me? Do I really want to be me? And you see, Jesus here, again, he wasn't surprised at what God had called him to do. And if we are born again today, you understand how you're born again by the suffering, the shame, the agony, the false accusations, the misrepresentations, being misunderstood, being misplaced, everything about that. That's all, everything in the body of our Savior. So the life we're called to live really isn't much of a surprise. But still, he goes to this place of prayer, and at this place of prayer, he makes a request. He says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. So Lord, if I can be in your will and not have to really be me, would you please? But then he says, not my will, but thy be done. So if I can be me without the cross, if I can please you, if it can be within your will and framework to go for it, to walk this time here on earth, to finish my time here on earth without the cross, if you'll be willing. But if not, Father, thy will be done. But we see something also take place. There was power that's manifested here. Because in that time, when he prayed that prayer, the Bible tells us that verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know, in the time when you really struggle the most with being you, God will strengthen you. God will empower you. He will encourage you. He will give you help to be you. And then also, he pleads one more time. And he said, even though he was strengthened, in verse 44, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Because, you know, you know me. I'm a pretty excitable person. I love the victory that we have in Christ. I love that all things are possible to him that believe it. I love that what's we're asking prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And I believe that. And I believe that we have yet to see God really be glorified as he really is because of just a lack of faith and my own life and just what we see today. But a lot of it has to do with that exaltation, that manifestation of power was not realized until Christ submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father and was willing to be what he came to this earth to be. And in the eyes of many, that was nothing. They look at him and, hey, if thou be the Son of God, bring yourself down. They really doubted who he was. They doubted the credibility of everything he was, but still he was willing to be himself. And I love this. And turn to Psalm 139. And again, this really is a really mini message. I know some of you will be shocked. But and Psalm 139. Could I mention earlier that Christ was not surprised at what he was supposed to be, and God knows everything that you're supposed to be. You know, God is the only one that knows who you really are supposed to be. You know, don't know that? There's a lot of struggle in this world about us being ourselves. You know why we struggle with being ourselves? Because most of the time we don't really know where we're supposed to be. And we don't ask the one who really knows. And here we see the one who knows. In Psalm 139, the Bible says here, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. Continuance, that's a holding on and abiding. That means God made you in a way that was going to stay the way the same, because when you were formed in the mind of God, that was not a surprise to him. And he says, and in continual fashion, when as yet there was none of them. This, if you come to the same conclusion about your life as God does, as he recorded his word here, you'll have a good life. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If you believe that it's a precious thing to be you, then you'll have a good life. Now, there again, it can't be your definition of what's precious. Because my wife would tell you that I was pretty full of myself when I met her. And I thought I was pretty, I thought I was something. I thought it was pretty good to be me. But I had to learn when I got saved that the me that I thought was good was not the good me. The good me was the me that God had envisioned for me, that he planned for me, and that he made me for, and then when I came to Christ, I could actually have the freedom to be the me that he wanted me to be. And you know, within this room, if you've been saved any period of time at all, you've been to Gethsemane. The will of God has come to your life. Because to be a disciple, to learn it all, you have to come to the cross. He said, if you don't take up the cross, you cannot be a disciple. I mean, you cannot, it's impossible for you not to be a learner, a follower in any way, unless we take up our cross daily. And what happens in your life and my life, we come to that place and we're looking at what God really means for us to be ourselves. And that can be a gut-wrenching and a very difficult time. And we have to make the decision, like Jesus did, Father, thy will be done. So it's really okay to be the me that God wants you to be. And when you make that decision, then your life will be used in such a way where God will be glorified. And all the hope of it, you realize all the hope of everything we do today is because Jesus was willing to be what he came to this earth to be. Yes, it caused an agonizing death, but without that agonizing death, there was no resurrection power that would transform the life of every single one that believes. So if you're in the Gethsemane today, if you're in the garden, if you've ever been there, you know, there's a couple different ways to know if you really made the right decision in Gethsemane. Either you're still in agony today in the garden, wondering why nobody's there praying with you. You know, Jesus said that. What, can you not watch me 1 hour? Or you don't have the resurrection power in your life. Because you can't have the resurrection power until you're willing to be the me that God wants you to be. And once you submit it, then everything in this world was changed forever. Now, he's perfect. He's God. But there again, the illustration is, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus knows what it's like to be in the presence of the Father and to know exactly what the Father's will is for his life. And to wonder and even ask the Father, is there a different way than the way that you planned for me? You don't have to raise your hand. Has anybody ever been there? Been in the Father's will, and you know what the Father's will is for your life, and you're with the Father, and say, Father, is there any other way I can do this? But when he said, "Thy will be done," everything changed. So Jesus would say today, "Father, do I really have to be me?" And you may say today, "Father, do I really have to be me?" And you don't have to be, but your life will be transformed in the way that he wishes. And you'll live this, then this will not just be a church thing. It will be a life of resurrection power in the presence of God, walking with God, and seeing lives really change the way the Bible explained it. And that's what we're looking for, because that's what we're supposed to be about. Amen. So we see it in the Bible. Father, thank you for a few moments to encourage these precious servants of yours. And God, I just pray, Father, if there's anyone here today that is maybe, there may be someone here today running from being the me that you made them to be. There may be someone here that's really in the garden right now, asking the Father, do they have to be what you've planned for them to be? Would you help them to see that Jesus knows all about that feeling? Would you help them to see that Jesus really understands all that? And God, would you just do a work here today to transform the lives, first of all, of your children that know you, to where this life would become again the opportunity of many wonders, opportunities of blessing to serve you, and not just a time that we show up for services out of religious obligation and formality. God, you're so great, you're so good, you're so wonderful. And Lord, I thank you for my Savior who went to the garden and was willing to be what you wanted him to be, and willing to submit what he already knew. And I thank you that in my weak times, in those dark moments of my life when I've been in the garden myself, and I've said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, I'm thankful that as you've ministered to me, you've ministered to me because you understood completely what it's like to be me. You're a great God, my Father. Bless the service, strengthen the saved, and draw the lost closer to thyself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.